Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the CRC meeting on Appeal 2016-X0002. By way of beginning, we generally go around and introduce ourselves, state our name, any affiliation, and where we're from in town. So I will start. I am Kristen Malone. I'm the CRC chair, and I live in St. John's.
My name is Mae File, and I am a CRC member, and I am from Kenton.
My name is Kiasha Ford. I'm a CRC member, and I live in Southwest.
My name is Roberto Rivera, and I am a CRC member, and I live in Northeast Portland.
Constantine Severe, Independent Police Review, Southeast Portland.
David Morin, IPR staff.
Eric Terrell, NPA, and I live in Northeast.
My name is Michael Mayo. I am the Secretary of the Cascadia Chapter of the Pacific Green Party.
Personal goal, live in Northeast Portland.
I'm Brad Taylor. I'm a mental health specialist with the City of Portland, and I live in North Portland.
I'm Doug Brown with the Portland Mercury.
Regina Hammond with Portland Cop Watch.
Dan Hamilton with Portland Cop Watch and Flying Focus Video Device.
Matthew Klug with Pelham.
I'm Jason Renaud with the Mental Health Association of Portland.
Eric Leary, IPR investigator, Milwaukee.
Deirdre Press, IPR investigator.
Casey, IPR.
Jennifer Hill, teacher.
Michael Luna, Northwest Portland.
And Jim Young, Southwest Portland.
Julie Ramos, North Portland.
Okay. Prior to getting started, we should acknowledge that this meeting follows a particularly contentious meeting on March 30th, which caused the committee and the city to reconsider our standards and logistics for the meetings. CRC members, IPR, the auditor, the bureau, and others worked to develop some changes to the way our meetings are organized and conducted, and to clarify the ways in which CRC can regulate its meetings to ensure a fair and civil process. To that end, I'd like Director Severe to comment on what has happened on that note.
So, thank you. So after the March 30th meeting, there were several meetings held internally with city staff, including the auditor, myself, folks at the police bureau, representatives from G4S Security on how we could make sure that the CRC could have meetings that were safe for the public and all the participants who come to the meetings. Part of the resolution from those meetings were for us, for the CRC to have a set of ground rules that would be similar to what occurs at city council meetings and what happens at the Citizen Oversight Advisory Board, the COAD meetings as well. The CRC as a public body has the ability to engage in content neutral regulations of its space. And the chair communicated with me some of your concerns of the meeting space, and those are incorporated in the ground rules, I believe, members of the public have in the CRC as well.
Great. I think the auditor also wanted to make a statement before we got started.
I am here to address what occurred in the last meeting and to apologize to the committee for the city's failure to meet with your expectations. You should expect a safe and respectful space in which to conduct your volunteer service on behalf of the city. You should expect procedural advice that enables you to hear both sides of a dispute and render an impartial decision. And you got neither of those things on March the 30th. I specifically want to apologize to Kristen Malone, who, unbeknown to me or IPR Director Severe, received incorrect legal advice that she could not exclude people from the hearing room for discussing behavior. You did a heroic job of keeping that meeting on track in very difficult circumstances. Chair Malone received undeserved criticism after the meeting because she acted on the last minute advice that she was given, and for that I apologize. I also want to apologize to Jim Young. who was the victim of a hostile act by an angry audience member who disagreed with his vote, and that is beyond unacceptable. I also want to acknowledge something that may have gotten lost in the post-meeting analyses. Under adverse circumstances, you provided an invaluable service to the people of Portland by fulfilling your vital role in the police oversight system. You asked good questions and listened respectfully to the answers. You thoughtfully wrestled with the issues and rendered a decision. Thank you for your many hours of service on the city's behalf.
Thank you. I just have one question about the presence or lack thereof of the city attorney at this meeting. Can you speak to that a little?
Yes, as we did follow-up meetings and understood the situation that involved the advice that you were given, we decided that it would be difficult for the city attorneys to come to this meeting tonight, and we are in the process of trying to find an alternative source for good legal advice for you as you convene as a CRC. And we are still working out what the options are and what the solution will be.
Does anybody on the committee have any questions? Okay. To that end, we have new rules in effect tonight. They are posted around the room. I'm inclined to read them this first time just so that we can all be aware of the new standards that we're operating under, some of which carry over and some of which I think should have already been generally understood, but just to be clear. The Citizen Review Committee serves as the community's voice and oversight of the Portland Police Bureau. It also makes recommendations to the city auditor, police chief, and city council. In order for the CRC to do its work and have a successful meeting where everyone can be heard, it is important that we all treat each other with dignity and respect. All members of the community are welcome at committee meetings. It is important that public order and decorum is maintained during committee meetings and that the committee's deliberations can occur without interruption. Please silence all cell phones and all other electronic equipment. There will be an opportunity for public comment. During the public comment, it is important that it be directed to the chair and to the committee, limited to the allotted time period, provided in a civil manner without personal attacks. Unless during the general public comment period, public comment should be limited to the item that the CRC is deliberating. Any behavior that disrupts or interferes with the committee's ability to hold this meeting or the public's ability to observe, such as shouting or interrupting the testimony of a participant, will not be permitted. Members of the public are expected to remain in the designated public seating area. If anyone wishes to video or take photographs of the proceedings, they're welcome to do so as long as they do not distract others in the audience with commentary, picture taking, or videotaping. While this meeting is in session, members of the public are expected to be seated or stand in place unless they're exiting the room or called by the chair to speak at the microphone during the designated public comment period. Requests for Americans with Disabilities Act accommodations related to seating arrangements or speaking at the microphone should be made to the chair or independent police review staff. This is a warning that anyone who disrupts the proceedings or otherwise violates these expectations for a respectful and dignified meeting may be excluded from the remainder of the meeting. Okay. I should also note at this time that no members of the Bureau, command staff, or internal affairs are in attendance. It is my understanding, based on the voice message left for Vice Chair Ramos, that this is at the direction of Acting Chief Henderson. And in relation to Chief O'Day's memo issued shortly after our March 30th meeting, it is the Bureau's position that we have not done enough or have not clearly stated the security procedures that we'll be operating under, and that they cannot support the attendance of their members, which makes hearing an appeal difficult. It is the chair's position that we can proceed with today's appeal hearing, notwithstanding the absence of Bureau staff, by the same token that allows us to proceed without testimony of an officer, we can proceed without the contributions expected to be made by the Bureau. However, I recognize that that severely hobbles our process. That would mean tonight that we could not hear the explanation of the commanding officer's finding,
nor could we hear the details of IA's initial investigation or the additional investigation we ordered back in October. So, we also have an option to compel the attendance of IA and of command staff. That authority is given to us by city code. I believe that we would need to vote on that. So I would ask the committee to discuss our thoughts on what we want to do with tonight's appeal. I know that the appellant has been waiting a long time to have his appeal heard, but I think that there are good questions about whether doing so based solely on the paper file essentially is the best use of our purpose. So I think that we either proceed with the appeal or we vote to compel attendance. And I have talked with Director Sevier, who has said that he can work to reschedule this appeal in the next available meeting slot, which would be May 4th.
Yes, ma'am. And before the CRC would make a motion or vote on possibly compelling Bureau representatives to be at the next appeal hearing, I'd like to just read this relevant section of the code, which is really brief, so everybody's on the same page, audience and CRC.
Speaking to the mic.
Yes.
I will, Ms. Reynolds.
Thank you.
So, this is from City Code 321-160D. Number one, the committee and council may require within its scope of review the investigators and the member of IAD, which is Internal Affairs, and the director, the IPR director, to appear and answer questions regarding the investigation, and may also require the responsible bureau commander to answer questions regarding the basis and rationale for a particular decision.
That is it.
Okay. I also have a question. If we are going to vote on something, are we obligated to allow a public comment period before that vote?
The current protocols allow for that, yes.
Okay. I open it up to comment by committee members.
Well, I'm
to committee members.
I'm a little frustrated because I feel like this appellant has waited a really long time to have this heard. But I also want it to be a thorough hearing so that it's completely fair to him. And we did send it back for additional information, and I would like the opportunity to like question people about that thoroughness. And there was some stuff around the use of a taser that I don't think ever was really clarified, that we were hoping to get clarified tonight. So it's frustrating, I'll say that.
From my perspective, I agree with Julie, I understand there are logically two options. If we proceed with the appeal, then you're going to make the decision based upon the record in front of us. You're not going to be requiring anybody to appear. On the other hand, if the appeal is adjourned and a motion is made to require the attendance of people according to the city code, then it would require, obviously, adjourning the appeal. While it is not required, out of respect to the appellant, I would like to have input from the appellant's APA regarding whether, at least the appellant's perspective, regarding an appeal, which means coming back yet a third time, but understanding it would be as a result of that, if we adjourned it, that would also, we'd be dealing with the issue of the non-appearance of Bureau members. So before I either made a motion, supported a motion, or voted, I would like input from the appellant, realizing it's not, the CRC doesn't have to follow that, but out of respect, I think that input from the appellant via the AP is perfectly appropriate. Okay?
I guess, I agree with everything that Ms. Ramos and Mr. Young said. I guess further question, so my understanding is this case came before us people weren't interviewed that we would like to have interviewed. Those people thus were interviewed, which is now new evidence before us, which puts us back in a case file review. No.
We can only send it back once.
So okay, we get so we get. So we're automatically out of the appeal, but we can't ask anyone. Okay. That was my second thing, was I was like, we can't ask anything about the investigation, which I suppose is neither here nor there, then I feel like it's the same. I'm with you guys. I feel it's an issue of the injustice of time and the injustice of not having adequate representatives to question.
I guess my concern is that on May 4th, if the officers don't appeal, then we're back at square one, and now it's May 4th.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's an option, but I mean, they're not here tonight.
So so the provision that I read is a portion of city code. So if the CRC, as a body, requires the presence of the people that I read, the involved officers, commander, representatives for internal affairs, and they do not show, that would be a violation of city law, and that would be a violation of Portland Police Bureau directives, laws, rules, and orders. So that would be, frankly, a very serious offense as a city employee and as a police officer.
Constantine, do you know whether the Bureau received legal advice from the city attorney regarding the non-attendance and the reasons they provided?
Police Bureau and IPR, we're not really sharing the same counsel as of recently, so their counsel, I do not know. The only thing that I can tell you is that maybe an hour or so before this meeting, I received an email from Assistant Chief Henderson notifying myself that she would not permit Bureau members to attend tonight's meeting, and there was a city attorney who was CC'd on the message, but I don't know. I don't know if they answered your question.
And again, the reason that was provided regarding why there would not be Bureau members present was what?
I can read the email.
Could you please, for the record?
Yes.
Sorry.
Assistant Chief Henderson writes, "Thank you for expressing our concerns," I think that's supposed to mean your concerns, "to the Citizen Review Committee about the lack of procedures that would make appeal hearings safe and productive. It is unfortunate that the CRC has chosen to proceed with the hearing tonight given those concerns. The CRC meeting ground rules presented to us on April 18th do not address the issues and are nothing more than what the chair stated verbally during the appeal of case 2015-C-0325. Chief Larry O'Day's memo dated March 31st, 2016 expressed serious concerns over the corrosive and intimidating environment that has been allowed to fester at the Citizen Review Committee appeal hearings. Given the lack of detailed procedures for the CRC appeal process, it is my belief that by allowing any member of the Portland Police Bureau to attend the hearing tonight would be violating City of Portland Human Resources Administrative Rules, in particular 2.02. Therefore, we will not be in attendance. I left a voicemail message with CRC member Ramos yesterday, April 19th, stating we will not be in attendance. It is my hope the Bureau can meet with IPR and the CRC chair to come up with procedures that are fair and transparent to the public as well as to the members of the Portland Police Bureau. The chief has expressed his willingness to help with developing procedures that will benefit all who participate. As the acting chief, I am also ready to help with developing policies for the future to address the issues for all concerned. Thank you, Donna."
So that does further my concerns, only because of the tone of the email. This is coming from the top. So, I mean, my assumption is unless there's a meeting that is satisfactory for that group between now and May 4th, I don't really see them forcing officers in this hostile environment.
But today they're not violating the law by not being here. On May 4th they would be violating the law by not being here.
Well, I guess I want to hear what the appellant has to say, only because it's been a serious delay. We're not going to receive any new information. I mean, they will read where they came with their findings, which they wrote in their findings memo. So I'm a little.
Unless anybody else has a comment, I would ask to speak
I just wanted to share this. In the past, we have heard appeals without the presence of the appellant. So just keep, you know, just something that we need to verbalize, that there have been multiple cases and multiple investigations where the appellant was not present, and we went through with the appeal and we didn't hear anything from the appellant on those appeals. So, you know, just maybe it is time for now for us to just keep going.
Can I make one more comment before we hear from the appellant? So to me, I feel like there's two issues at hand that are really important. So there's the issue of due like process for the appellant and a timely process that works for him. Whether it goes in whatever way, we should have a process that works. That's one. I feel like then there's the actual subject at hand, which is this current, what the process is. And I feel like clearly right now, it is no secret to anyone that we are in a very contentious time. And I think the only way, I mean, I'm a social worker, I would love to believe we could all just converse and be able to come from a spirit of compromise and collaboration, but that's not possible. And it's definitely not possible if not everyone's in the room. And so I feel like while I give the heaviest weight personally to what the appellant wishes, I think it doesn't matter if the bureau's not in the room, there's nothing we're gonna do to get them to be able to get to that compromise state. We need everybody at the table. And I don't want us kind of trying to appease them from afar without them being able to be here and be part of the dialogue. So I simply put that out there.
Can I comment quickly in response to that?
Yes.
I think that what the Bureau wants is to continue to push off our hearings because they want to keep talking. And it's my belief that we have, that what we have come up with is robust and strong and will work, and right now in this room is working. And I don't like the idea that we can just go forward without them and they don't have to come the next time and they don't have to come the time after that. I don't want them at the table, I want them in this room. And I want us to order them to be here.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
If the appellant would like to move forward, knowing that our next meeting is also an appeal, couldn't we still compel them to come to that appeal? At which point we could still move forward with the appeal with them not here and also still compel them to come to the next one? Okay.
I agree with a lot of what both of you just said. And I also think it's not only disrespectful to the community, to the committee, but it's also disrespectful to the appellant to not show up. And that bothers me. And I think it's a process where the appellant should be able to receive everything that's available, everything that was decided on, and he's missing a piece. So, anyway.
The appellant like to make a statement there by himself?
Chair, may I approach the table?
Yes.
This has been a horrible day. Super nervous, excuse me. I'm inclined to have the opinion that I would appreciate their presence just so that they could justify what happened. We're going to get to the bottom of this. I need their presence. So I'm inclined to ask for you to compel their testimony, and they can choose whether they'd like to break the law.
Thank you. I think we should have 10 minutes of public comment, and then.
I just want to make a brief comment myself as the APA.
Oh, of course.
I agree that it is hugely disrespectful to this gentleman, member of the community, hugely disrespectful to this body. Tons of work that goes into this. Disrespectful to IPR and disrespectful to the community at large. In general, we all abide by the same rules, protocols, regulations. You don't get to choose which ones you want to do or not. We're all under them and are shaped and guided by them. It just seems to me that this decision by the Bureau is such a, it flies in the face of building community partnerships, building trust with the community, an active participant in the oversight of police services. For them to take that position, it flies in the face of all of that. And I certainly have heard police officers say to me in years past, if a group or an individual is feeling they're threatened or there's risk, call the police. They will come. So if there's individuals from the IA that feel that this environment is not safe, I say call the police and come in and straighten it out, you know. So I support and agree with the appellants and yours. I don't think they get to choose. They need to be in the room, hopefully for compromise, but at a minimum, they're in the room. At a minimum. And they have to do their job, and you do your job, so forth, and so forth, and so forth. We all have a role and a job to do. They don't get to choose when they want to do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Further public comment? Mr. West?
Yes, I feel that it's extremely disrespectful, not just to the people of the community, but Portland and Multnomah County as a whole. They should be here. We shouldn't, I'm not sure what their demands are. If they want armed police officers, I would totally disagree with armed police officers. In a public meeting like this, I don't think they've even sat there and said what they wrote. What I've been reading, they haven't said what they really want. They want tighter security. Well, what's tighter security? You guys took away the food. You guys took away the drinks. You know, what do they want? You know, people have right to question the police when they feel the police officers did something wrong. In my hearing, the officer never showed up. In this hearing, no one showed up. You know, and it's really, if there's a problem with the police officer, then the police officer should be the one to sit there and say, hey, this is my point of view. And by no one showing up, it's hard to come up with a fair decision because you don't know what the other side's point of view is. And what stops the police from deciding, well, we're not going to show up this month? Oh, we have one next month. What stops them from going, well, we're not going to show up next month? You know? There needs to be some kind of order, something that goes to the police saying, hey, check this out. If you don't show up, then you're in violation of the law, and we need to do something about this. And that's my point of view. He has the right to listen to what that officer had to say. So does all of you. So does everyone in this room. And for them not to show up is disrespectful to him, disrespectful to all of you, because you're the judges. And it's disrespectful to everyone here and the city of Portland it makes the process look bad.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
I don't know whether you will vote in favor of demanding the police attend or against requiring that the police attend, but I can frame the issue for you. This is a coup d'etat. You are the only official body that is empowered to reprimand individual police officers for dereliction of duty. You can do it. You are the civilians who are allowed to officially say the police acted in an unreasonable manner. And the police refusing to attend means that they are unwilling to abide by the regulations of this city and they are in violation of their legal obligations. This report by the OIR, the report to the city of Portland on police, on Portland Police Bureau officer-involved shootings and in-custody deaths, which was issued this year, shows in one case after another, the police are becoming less cooperative, not only with the CRC, but also with the OIR itself. We are facing 30 years of police obstruction and police refusal to admit that they are accountable to the citizens of this city. And at this point, there is nothing but it has to go to the city council. The city council has to decide whether the police officers shall be put in their place because you cannot do it. The city council has to tell the police chief all the way down the line that they are obliged to follow the regulations of our city.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was at the meeting here and I was disappointed at the action at the end of the meeting. But you know, we're here as a committee and we're kind of looking at police abuse. I mean, things like tasering, shooting, violence. I mean, so far nobody's died from a dash of water in the face. I mean, I regret that it happened, but the idea that the chief of police calls this a violent action is, I don't know, it's Alice in Wonderland, folks. It's demeaning, it's disrespectful. I wish it didn't happen, but it did. Okay, but I think you guys are doing a good job, and I commend the chair. I was here, and there was some vigorous participation, and nobody was ejected. It was just fine. I did have another question, though, about the police officer that chose to have his representative come. It's, you know, I really think it'd be nice to have the police officer, more than nice, it's important, require them to be here, for sure. And there was a police officer who didn't come and chose to remain silent, it seems like. But he sent his union representative. I mean, this is just too laughable to have your union representative to be here to kind of, and you're denied the ability to answer their questions, and I think they should be here to answer. So we need citizen control of the police. The police are choosing to resist in every way possible, and this is just another tactic they've been using. I commend you for what you accomplished last week. I enjoyed the meeting, enjoyed the everything you took to go here. Thank you very much for the work you do.
Thank you. Mr. Hanneman.
Hi, I'm Dan Hanneman with Portland Cop Watch. And I do want to say, as soon as I saw the chief's memo, the very first thing I thought of was the section of your code that allows you to compel the officers to be here, and I think you should exercise it. That said, I agree with the statement that was just made about the relative level of danger to what the police face out in the streets. There's the new directive that was proposed about allowing civilians to observe police behavior makes a distinct point that rudeness and disrespect is not against the law, and the police should be able to deal with that. And I'm not quoting it, you're exactly paraphrasing it, but you know, nobody likes a disrespectful atmosphere, and you're asking for there to be one, and you know, I'm prepared to respect that. And I'm just saying that police deal with a lot worse stuff out in the street. They don't, if they feel physically threatened, which is another kind of strange thing for officers who are armed the way they are, and we don't like them coming to these meetings armed, they could teleconference in. You could have had a big video.
Mr. Davis, could you remain in place, please? I'm sorry to interrupt, but.
What's that?
I would just ask that Mr. Davis remain in place while he's filming.
I'm glad that you're going to have this vote. You know, I would prefer that you also have a time to vote on the ground rules. Maybe if you're going to end the meeting early, we can have a discussion about that tonight. I think that's.
Thank you. Ms. Hannon?
Yes, Regina Hannon from Portland Cop Watch. And I was at the last meeting, but for most of it, but I had to leave early. And I thought what happened was totally unnecessary and inappropriate. But I just find it so ironic that the police and the members of the Bureau seem to be so concerned about safety when they're the ones, the only ones, who can come to these meetings with guns.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Is there any further public comment? Yes, sir.
Excuse me. I forgot to mention up front, I appreciate all your time. I know you're volunteers. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion by the CRC, or is there a motion?
Thank you.
So it's no surprise to me that the police are using whatever excuse they can get out of the review process, and obviously don't want to be held accountable. Even in the Department of Justice's recent findings, it said that the police in Portland have an us versus them training policy. So why would anyone expect this rogue, militarized police force that is accountable to no one except the rich, wealthy, elite classes of America that will do anything to anyone and get away with it, whether it's on video or whatever. The police union comes in here, they lie for their officers, they protect nothing but rogue criminal clubs that beat up people all the time, and then they use an excuse of a water that was thrown into his face, which he's not a cop, being an excuse to not be accountable to anything anymore. Are they going to try and jump out of the COAB and COPOL process too? What's next, you know? Are they just going to declare themselves as a rogue army and start lining up citizens and just shooting them in the head if they attend these meetings or have anything critical to say, you know? And also, you know, I think it's really actually kind of pathetic, these ground rules that you think that people should be respectful to cops and not have any personal attacks, when the police consistently launch personal attacks against the community, including protesters, me, all kinds of people. So we're just supposed to be bullied around and not have any emotions or any response and just pander to these abusive thugs and basically just deal with it. And then they just say, oh, a little water got thrown into someone's face and we're scared to come to meetings now, you know? I mean, what a crock of total you-know-what. I mean, this is ridiculous. You guys need to compel these guys to show up, and you also need to compel officers to show up and not their union thug representative that just says whatever to, you know, keep this officer operating. And I have a lot to say, but I'll cut it short for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Sir?
Through my research, I determined that I found some things which identify directives about the case file summary review itself specifically, and that the language is supposed to be more general, non-accusatorial, and net neutral in general. And I'd say that the case file summary review is very accusatorial, and the language doesn't comply with the directive to be more general and, you know, give it a grain of salt. These people didn't show up. I'm not insisting that it be changed, but it would be nice if the case file summary review was less emphasis on gender and more neutral in its language.
Okay, on the question of whether to compel the attendance of the officers, is there further discussion?
Yes, a quick question. So to compel them to appear at our next appeal, is that a general standing order, or is that something we have to do every time?
I believe it would be specific to the particular appeal hearing that you would want the Police Bureau command staff to attend.
So we would have to put it. Each appeal would conclude with another vote on compelling the attendance of the officers at the following appeal.
I guess until we develop the relationship, right? Okay.
At some point, maybe it would be best to invite Rod Underhill. That's just my first impression of how this might go.
I'm not sure who Rod Underhill is.
He's the Mobile County Sheriff. I'm sorry,
District Attorney.
Okay, got it.
I want to make a motion.
Wait, there wasn't. I'm sorry.
Was there?
I think we did conclude public comment.
Oh, okay, because there was someone else. Okay.
But,
okay. Right. Go ahead.
I make a motion that we compel the officers to be at the next May 4th meeting. IA, the commanding officer, and
Mr. Sevier.
Commander.
You can compel me as well.
IPR director.
I second that. Sorry, did you want to say something first?
I do.
Sorry.
I do. Given the nature of the motion, there's a couple ways to proceed. One, of course, is a motion like this. The other, it might be wise for you to consider that we carefully draft a motion with proper preambles for overall effect, since this is going to be looked at by the media. Follow me? With whereas provisions and reciting facts. You all may not be, and I've done that a lot for communities that I've represented. And in that regard, am I correct that you folks received 1 hour notice, did I understand correctly, of the non-appearance?
No.
She left me, the acting chief, Henderson, left me a voicemail message yesterday.
And we received some word that command staff would not be in attendance earlier today, maybe around noon or 1. I got notice from IPR that command staff would not be in attendance, and they wanted to know whether we wanted to cancel the meeting outright. And at that point, not knowing that IA was also going to be in attendance, I discussed with the auditor and Mr. Sphere and Ramis, and we decided that as we've so often go forward without testimony of the officer, and on occasion without testimony of the appellant, we could go forward without testimony of command staff. But it was only later in the afternoon, and then again by email this afternoon, that we officially received word that nobody would be coming.
So that at least initially was, is it fair to say, less than 24 hours notice?
Yeah.
Okay. Just
yes.
As a background, so, given the overall impact of this, both from the media perspective and because it does create, obviously, an adverse relationship, could create a bit of an adverse relationship, it might be wise to take a 5-minute break. We shouldn't. But a few of us could try and draft a comprehensive motion with background facts, you follow me? Preamble, mm-hmm. is technically what it's called, and along with the substantive motion exactly like was said here a moment ago. I'm merely suggesting to you, given the importance of this, it might be wise to have a carefully phrased motion. That's all. In which case,
I think that
it would be wise to take a 5-minute break and let folks work on their own on something.
Okay. 5-minute break.
Thank you.
Stationary standing positions, whichever one is chosen.
chosen.
Yeah. If asked to provide a sample motion that I believe captures the comments that I've heard from you folks, I would suggest that a form that would be appropriate might read as follows. Whereas representatives of CRC received approximately 24 hours notice of non-attendance of PPB personnel at the hearing set for, then we insert today's date. Whereas CRC believes that the non-attendance of Bureau personnel violates the city code. Whereas the non-attendance of Bureau personnel is disrespectful to the appellant, the volunteers of the CRC, and the CRC's role under the city code. Whereas the Bureau failed in advance of a scheduled appeal to meet with representatives of IPR or CRC to discuss any concerns of the Bureau regarding the appeal hearing procedures for tonight's appeal. Whereas section 3.21.160.D of the city code authorizes the CRC to require the attendance of specified Bureau personnel for an appeal. Whereas the attendance of all parties at an appeal, including Bureau personnel, is essential for a fair and complete hearing. Therefore, it is moved that the CRC requires the attendance of the Internal Affairs Investigator, the Captain of Internal Affairs, the RU Commander involved in the case file specified below, and the IPR Director to attend the May 4 appeal hearing for case number 2015-C-0104. So if somebody asked me for a sample motion that tried to capture all that I heard earlier, that would be it.
Do you so move?
Hey, Julie has a motion on the floor. If she withdrew it,
I'll withdraw my motion.
That number is the appeal hearing number, not a case number. I don't know if that matters.
I withdraw my motion. I do think that motion's a little wordy and long. But I can live with it.
Can I move in accordance with Jim's motion that he stated? Can I just adopt your words and move accordingly? Mm-hmm. Does anybody second?
I second.
Roll call starting with Mr. Rivera.
So yes for me.
Aye.
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 Motion passes unanimously.
Aye.
All right, are you okay, Constantine?
Yes. We'll take your sample motion and we'll draft it and we'll send it to the police bureau. And I'll notify the chair if I receive anything back.
And to be clear, that is us compelling the attendance.
So the CRC, as of right now, the CRC has made its request as it has the ability under code to require the presence of the police bureau. So the next step is just for us to formally communicate that. So once that occurs, the Bureau is formally on notice of what CRC wants in this particular case.
Okay. So, the question was raised earlier in public comment about discussion of our new ground rules, standards, guidelines. I agree that the discussion needs to occur. In that vein, I will work with IPR and any interested committee members to set up a time in the next 2 weeks to have a meeting about the new rules. Public notice will be sent out, and we can sit down around a table and not in the meeting that we're talking about and talk about what we're trying to do and where we're going and why. As background, the community's participation is incredibly important in this process, but it works best when we're all pulling in the same direction and when we all feel safe. And that was what the rules, I think, were intended to achieve. And so I'd like to have a conversation about that, and we will get that on the calendar soon. And now, I would like to wrap up with minutes of public comment. 2 minutes each for anybody who wants to talk.
Hello, Dan Handelman again from CrossWatch. Is this time for the public comment?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry. Make sure. So it was mentioned by another audience member that the mayor is the police commissioner, and I'm not sure whether the compelling of the officer here is going to be going through the legal system, which means the sheriff would have to go out and order the people to come here, or whether you're going to try to compel the officers here through administrative means by directing that at the police commissioner. But I think you should consider those as additional targets of your letter to the Bureau, because the Bureau is doing this on their own. We don't know if the police commissioner is backing them or not. I do appreciate you offering to have a discussion about the ground rules as a member of Flying Focus, so that everybody in the audience knows. I've been having a long discussion about where our camera is right now, and I'm not able to get the face of the appellant, and I'm trying to work out some kind of compromise where I can videotape from over there and come over here when I'm giving my testimony, and I'm hoping we can work on that together. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your motion, and the only thing I would add is that I still was interested in receiving a little more neutral language in the case file summary review. And that the original lawsuit actually that was referred by the city's tort review board showed in my complaint a website, and it's www.klug.pw, and that has a very good copy of the video in question. I compel you guys to try to check that out on your own. In addition, the lawsuit I did file in the District Court of Oregon was included Charlie Hales as police commissioner, just to let you know. Thank you.
Hello. Directing this to the chairperson and the committee. And my name is Crystal Elinsky. I've been trying to attend these meetings, and I missed the last one. I heard that I read in the paper that there might be some closure. I mean, some public cutoff will being able to attend. And so I don't know what you've already discussed now. I hope this is not the last chance, but there was a possibility of putting it online, and apparently that's just as accessible to the public to watch these meetings online. And I want to say that in my case, and many people I know, it's not, I don't have access to the internet. So I really hope that we can keep public 1 minute. Sorry? I should ask somebody, but is that true? Is there some talk about this not happening?
No. The rules that are in place tonight are the rules as changed from last meeting. So to my knowledge, and I think tonight is going really well, knock on wood, but I don't anticipate any further, you know, we have to stream it or we have to put people in different rooms.
I attend a lot of public meetings, and I don't really see things go poorly, so I think it's great that we're there open, and I can talk to you guys when I see you on the street. I can talk to you in these meetings, but internet, I don't have access, and it's not the kind of world where people like me have access, so I wouldn't say that's the same thing at all. Thank you.
Any further comment?
So I actually wanted to talk about something myself, you know, about safety issues. I was actually assaulted by an IPR investigator that's sitting right over here, Eric Berry, he slammed my hand in a door when I was asking him some questions. And then this little city employee thug over here obviously lied and told a different story to the police when they came and interviewed him. And I was wondering if I can see the surveillance footage outside of the IPR office. And then over here we have Mike Cohen. He's a G4S security goon.
Sir, I'd ask that you refrain from the personal attacks.
He actually assaulted me too. And then where's the other G4S guy? He's around here too. This guy sitting in the chair over here.
Sir, please direct your comments to the committee.
So why is one cup of water that got thrown in a citizen's face over there, why is that such a big issue? And you're trying to silence me right now, actually, when I'm bringing up something about an IPR investigator that assaulted me, and then multiple city employees that are sitting in this room that have assaulted me, and then the gall of...
30 seconds.
The gall people have to even talk about security. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. Security and safety for who? Is this board about serving the community or making sure that the cops are safe from water being thrown in their face?
Thank you, sir. Your time's up.
Well, so you guys can investigate this investigator that assaulted me?
Thank you. Okay.
Okay.